welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 498. I'm Adam and Delete. And here's Kirby Butler Sloan.
We attack on three sides, above, between, below. Oh, God. Which is a direct quote from the Five Doctors. Yay! The above, between,
yeah,
below.
All right, thank you. But, then I can say Ben Shoveler.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Yes, he does say that. Well done.
Yeah, that's a round of applause. Must do. So I thought I'd take a stab in the dark with that one.
One of my alternates was already used. I was going to go delete.
I said that.
Yes.
Right, Lillian Robin has said. Lillian Robin has said off air whilst we're waiting for the show to start, which is now 15 minutes late, 16 minutes and 14 seconds. She says, "Sorry, I'm late. That's an odd angle," because the camera angle that the viewer is currently experiencing. And then she said boring because I was waiting to sort out the Ben situation. And then she said delete. Well, delete this episode and start again and go in the other room and have a nice glass of sherry, maybe? I don't know. Well, for the listener, we are going to be reviewing Rise of the Cybermen and the second episode in the... Yeah, wait for it.
The Age of Steel.
You can resist it. So it begins with Trigger being all menacing and sinister while he's revealing.
What do you mean, Trigger?
And also he hasn't turned the focusing on his cameras because the blatantly obvious Cyberman is not in view just yet. But his little sidekick, I do like the line when he says, how are you going to do, because he said he's going to tell the government or whatever, and he said, how are you going to do that from beyond the grave? That's the quote I should have used, actually, because I thought that was quite funny.
Now, what do you mean, Trigger?
Trigger from Only Fools and Horses.
How am I supposed to know that?
Because you claim to be an Anglophile.
The only other thing I've seen that actor in is...
the Americans and the Australians a bit more.
Yeah.
The only other thing I've seen that actor in is Harry Potter, where he played David Tennant's
father. He wasn't Harry Potter.
Father.
That was Daniel Radcliffe, Kirby, just to break it to you.
What?
Daniel Radcliffe played Harry Potter. This chap
this actor played David
Barry
Tennant's
Crouch.
Father.
He played Barry Crouch. No, he played David Tennant's
Farty
father.
Farty Crouch.
Wow, so you do know then.
Unless you need to tell them.
And if I don't...
Then I'm sorry, sir, but it's my duty. I shall have to inform them.
And how will you do that from beyond the grave?
Love that line. From beyond the grave. Sounds a bit like Fozzie Bear.
Says that, like in The Underwater Menace, the crazy...
Pardon?
Whatever.
Sorry, no, I was just turning the volume up on the speaker. But yes, I suppose it does actually. But yeah, so Trigger is a bit mean. He's clearly, even this early, sort of got something to do with the Cybermen. And they do give the game away somewhat with the title of the story, which is Rise of the Cybermen.
What he should have done, he's got the broom out.
That sounded really weird, Ben. It was... What I should have done, but...
I'll tell you what. Hold on. I don't know if you'll lose me for a second, but I'm going to change my internet connection because this is rubbish. I can hardly hear you two.
Have you?
It's like a one-man show.
Have you got one of those like telephone connection things, yeah, with the dial-up that goes... That sort of thing.
No. I'm over my Wi-Fi, but because I'm so far away from the house at the moment,
But I thought the shed connection was quite good.
Yeah, it's been good before. Maybe he changed sheds.
Have you been out and allowed your wife? Better? Yeah, but have you been out and not allowed your wife to install lead lining to your shed?
No, they need lead lining. I've got loads of great acoustic insulation to sort it all out with when I find.
Do you have any backyard left after having three sheds?
There'll be enough for a couple of deck chairs if the sun shines, which it doesn't very often.
Well, why don't you build another shed and then connect them all together?
Well, I could do. I could just have shed world.
Oh God. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Does that sound better now? Because I can hear you better now.
Oh, it might do after a few moments of rest. I mean, for the signal to rest. But I keep my fingers crossed. I can't remember what the original question was, actually, Ben, but that you were attempting to answer.
It was something to do with Trigger's broom.
Eh? Trigger's broom?
Yeah.
What about it?
Because you were mentioning Trigger. Which was completely confusing Kirby, because he had no idea who Trigger is. And so I thought I'd throw in Trigger's broom to the mix, just to confuse all the Americans even more.
Yeah, and then I called Barty Crouch Barry Crouch deliberately to throw Kirby offline. Anyway, back to where we were. So we then join, after the title sequence, the slightly green-looking TARDIS crew, who are having a bit of bantery conversation. And then there's a big bang! And the TARDIS crashed. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Eight seconds.
You completely stepped over the fact that the Doctor and Rose just pulled on Mickey what the Doctor did to Leela in the very first story that where she was a companion, where she was doing the yo-yo, and she asked when she could stop because she thought it was part of the magic. And so Mickey is holding this button down for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny.
I'm sure it was. It wasn't a major part of the story.
They both took place in Doctor Who episodes, I'll give you that.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
And then we have a reference to, is it the Mind Robber? Yeah. I think it's the Mind Robber. With the TARDIS dying.
Okay.
Although it doesn't explode with Zoe's. But
no, I wish it had done. Might take my mind off this. Right then, where are we going? Right, so yeah, so there's everything's going a bit haywire, and then it lands and crashes at the Doctor thinks that the TARDIS is dead, but obviously Mickey opens the door up and says, no, that's London. London with Zeppelins, yes.
I like the oxygen mask that dropped down.
I quite like the digital advert that Rose touches of Pete, and it sort of moves, which of course they haven't quite got that yet, but I'm sure they're not that far off it. What people normally do with adverts is draw moustaches on them. Anyway, so she's a bit excited.
This does look like it was very, very close. I remember mentioning this 9 years ago, and I'm not going to get too deep into it right now. But they look like they're on the other side of the same bridge where the Doctor and Adric were looking up at the Watcher in Legopolis.
Possibly. You're just going to have a trying to sort of blindly reference as much Doctor Who that's not related to this story as possible.
It's all Doctor Who. So therefore, it's all related.
Not entirely, no.
It's like you know, when you try and do name dropping of famous people, Kirby's trying to get in as many episodes of Doctor Who as he can today.
God. Anyway, quite rightly so, and to distract me from this particular feature, Tim Drury. Thanks, computer, for doing that so slowly. Says, what episode are they doing this week? Well, we're attempting, and you wouldn't believe it, but we're trying to do Rise of the Cybermen at the moment, but it's more of Rising of My Fury, because I'm actually trying to review this story and spend a little bit of time...
No, we did Fury from the Deep a long time ago.
With the wife at some point this evening. And then he says, somewhere in a parallel universe, there's a less annoying Kirby. Then it wouldn't be a Kirby then, would
Impossible.
It?
Impossible!
So anyway, yeah.
What would be the point in that?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
That's a Doctor Who episode in itself.
I was thinking earlier about my Sunday evening coming on doing the podcast, and I thought, we've got Adam, we've got me, and we've got the most pedantry person in the world. Mm. And I just think, you know, I look forward to talking to Kirby every week, because no one pulls you up on facts like Kirby does.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. So Pete's
Jesus Christ. On.
What happened the other week, Kirby, when I couldn't actually get on with the episode? I skipped to the end. You're about 5 seconds away from me doing that. I could skip right the way to the end of the episode because I'm in charge. Mwahaha!
But as I pointed out, what's the point in doing a podcast about an episode and then not reviewing it?
Well, we're not reviewing it. I keep on starting a sentence, and then it's like, you know, when you get a DVD with a scratch in it, it jumps back to the previous bit you were watching, you know. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, but it's like it gets there eventually, doesn't it?
But eventually, later on in the week. I've got the week off. Well, the week off.
There's no time limit then, is there?
Well, there is. The time limit set by She Who Must Be Obeyed, who hinted very generally that I think she'd rather surprisingly want to spend some of the evening with me.
Oh, well, none of her friends about?
I'm her friend, sort of. And they've got the dogs are here, and I'm hoping that one of them is not scratching at the door at the moment. And I've got a bit of wind. Ooh, pardon me about. Right then, where do we get up? So, oh, God, that's...
About 4.5 seconds in, I think.
Where did I get up to?
You got up to the point where Rose was... they'd just landed and Rose was having a look at the advert.
Oh, yeah, she's getting more excited because she thinks it's her dad and the doctor says, it's not your dad. And, of course, later on in the story, it's not your mum. Anyway, so Pete's rather successful. And he goes home with a bunch of flowers because he's creeping to Jackie, who's wearing a posh gown and some... rather interesting AirPods, obviously invented long before Apple actually invented them, which is quite interesting. And it's her 39th birthday, everybody. And he's in trouble for...
I could get pedantic right now,
oh,
but
God,
I won't.
Here we go. Well, you might as well. You've interjected, which rather implies that I've got little choice.
I'm not going to look up the exact birthdays, but she says she's supposed to be born on the same day as Cuba Gooding, is that his name?
Junior.
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Right. And the thing is that she also states her birthday, and it's a day off of Cuba Gooding Jr.'s. However, it
he
could
was
be the
born,
same on the on alternate the, universe. So there.
Cuba Gooding Jr. was born on the 2nd of January, 1968. Mm. And Jackie Tyler...
Oh, jeez.
Ooh, I got him to go pedantic. Excellent.
God.
Well, can we find Jackie Tyler's...
I bloody well hope not. Right, anyway, so yeah, they've had a little bit of domestic, and of course, Jackie...
of February 1967.
Thank you. Jackie keeps calling up Rose, so when originally watching the story, we were expecting to see an alternate Rose, but then a little Yorkshire Terrier appears, which is obviously leading to a slightly comedic moment later on in the tale.
I thought it was hilarious.
Meanwhile, Lumic, is it Lumic? I've got that name right.
Yes.
Make a change, wouldn't it? Is floating around in a like an airship, being all menacing with low camera angles, looking up his flaring nostrils and his sort of googly eyes because he's being evil. And then
search engines are available.
And then he communicates directly with Jackie via his little AirPods, which on her, they create this cyber square thing around her, almost like a framing thing, with a little blue light on it. But I noticed that they didn't do that for any of the other members of the public. They just had that they sort of were controlled just straight from their AirPod thingies.
Master.
Oh, jeez.
And she said in the commentary that while filming... instead of doing a freeze frame on her to do that, she just had to stay perfectly still, and then they did the animation.
Okay.
So you can see her moving a little bit.
Anyway, so he sort of gets the information he wants from her. The Doctor and Mickey sort of go into the dead TARDIS while Rose sort of just...
It's getting better!
Sort of eventually decides that she is going to try and see her not real dad, and then inside the TARDIS a little bit of green appears. Lord Percy from Blackadder would have been absolutely thrilled to bits to see this bit of green, almost as thrilled as the Doctor was, because of course it meant the TARDIS wasn't dead after all. Now this chap,
almost
who...
as pleased as Cuba Gooding Jr. would have been in some of his earlier movie roles.
Yeah. Anyway, the chap who plays Lumic's sidekick, he's I'm pretty sure you met him, haven't you, Kirby?
Yes. I've been on a little cruise with him inside of a hotel with him.
All right.
And,
all you have to do is say yes.
And Andrew Cartmell.
Thank you. But yeah, I was.
I wasn't cyber converted.
He's a very good friend of Colin Baker's, and he was sort of offered to me for Fantasy Con when that happened once upon a time.
I've met Colin Baker.
You've met Colin Baker.
Colin Baker, yeah. not just met him, interviewed him a couple of times actually.
Yeah, well done.
Master, he didn't like me.
Thank you for that. Yes.
He
didn't like me.
I am contractually obligated to mention this because I mentioned it in the announcement for last week's feedback, but I always love, from the moment I saw this story, that the lorry where they do the they convert the homeless people,
yes,
says International Electromatics on it.
Right.
Pardon? Oh, right, okay. I hadn't noticed that, but it's a very nice little link. Thank you, Kirby. And I forgot what I was going to say. Darn it.
Colin Spowell is in this because he's a good friend of Graham Harper's. And Graham Harper was also the director of the Colin Baker story that Colin Spowell was in.
Thank you. Yes, you're talking about Ben was trying to get out the words that Colin Baker didn't like him. How do you know Colin Baker didn't like you, Ben?
Well, you know, when you're just talking to someone and you just get the impression that he just didn't like me.
Oh, that's a shame.
I wasn't that bothered about it.
No, I'm sure you weren't. He was in my car, my old car, which I still have, which I'm going to be parting with soon.
Colin Baker's been in my car.
He was on my stage.
Have you had Christopher Ryan in your car as well at the same time as Colin Baker?
Oh, Christopher Ryan was lovely.
He's a very nice chap.
And the thing about Colin Baker, which I still can't get over, is the fact that like the third time I saw him, he recognized me.
All right, thank you, Kirby. All right, then, he recognised me the second time he saw me, but I suppose that was because it was the second day of the convention. Right then, Mickey and the Doctor, blows his breath all over this green thing and it glows, and the Doctor and Mickey sort of are trying to talk Rose out of going to see
Master,
not Dad, but she runs off, pretends she's doing something else. Yes.
The Doctor says that he loses 10 years of his life
when he does that. Yes.
But if he's the timeless child, it's completely meaningless.
Yeah, he could be saying it just for the fun of it.
And he
doesn't know that he's a timeless child.
He doesn't also know that he's a timeless child. It
hadn't been written at that point, Kirby.
It hadn't been written at that point. But he doesn't... Oh, God. Where did he... Oh, yeah.
Can't.
Anyway.
Not.
Meanwhile... what's his name again? Pete meets up with the president of is it Earth or Britain? Britain. President of Britain, who also looks exactly like the commissioner from Death in Paradise, which is and that lodger from Rising Damned.
Incredible,
as well.
That isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway,
tell me something.
Something. There you go. Something in the way she moves.
If there's a president of Great Britain, why did the policeman's helmet still have the royal crest on them?
That's what I was going to say.
That is a good... That's the best point you've brought up so far, so this is going to be a momentous occasion.
Well,
it had to happen at some stage.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
You know what the answer to that is? Brandon Moore says, "Sorry I'm late. I got stuck in a parallel world. Trust me on this."
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, if he's got stuck in a parallel world and made it back to this world, then surely he's been fracturing the dimensions between time, and we know how dangerous that can be.
That's a very good point, too. Anyway, the Doctor and Rose are wandering through the streets of London, and suddenly everybody stops because they're being sort of communicated via these... AirPod things. Apple hasn't
sued them
yet.
Wouldn't it be dangerous if you just, like, what if you're driving?
Well, you're going to get done in. I don't think the Cybermen are pretty bothered by that. Mickey, meanwhile, goes to visit his blind Nan. Obviously, we forgot to mention that in the other universe, blind Nan, did she fall down the stairs or something? Anyway,
Yes.
Something that Mickey left behind, and which led. She's got a bit of a violent streak. I think Blind Nan, she likes to lash out a bit and clobbers Mickey around the arm.
In the commentary, he says that she was hitting him very, very hard.
Well, you got to sometimes with acting.
Maybe she knew things that other people didn't at that
point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. Anyway, so then we meet the obligatory Welsh character, who's the driver of the get-out van, which just happens to have... Because they've taken Mickey in, thinking he's Ricky. This band of... What would you call them? Guerrillas? Or sort of rebels?
Rogues.
Rogues, yes.
They're called the Preachers, and there used to be a podcast called Preachers Podcast.
Ah, okay. Anyway, Lumic, meanwhile, is pleading to the president that he wants to infiltrate his cyber plan. The cyber president says no, but they have already got homeless people to turn into Cybermen, and so he starts this sort of process of changing these allegedly unwanted people into Cybermen. Meanwhile, there's a party.
Master?
The bums, Adam.
Bums, yes.
Master?
Yes.
Later, in the second story of this two-parter, the Cybermen say they don't want people who are unwilling. And yet...
All the bums are unwilling.
Anyway,
there's a party at the Tyler's because it's, as we said earlier on, Jackie's 39th party, and the Doctor, who looks very good in his tuxedo, bearing in mind the 13th Doctor wore a tuxedo in the first of the last series of Doctor, and Rose are waiting. And I tell you what, those canapes do look really tasty. And
they David do. Tennant, go make some.
David Tennant's manipulation of the champagne in baby sham glasses around the rooms is quite impressive, to be fair. He must have taken a bit of practice not to drop any of those.
He's an actor. He probably practiced a lot. They don't do a lot.
Anyway, so Jackie comes down and gets a big sort of welcome for her birthday, while more plotting behind the scenes occurs, because they met the real Ricky in their little hideout. They strap Mickey to the chair, half naked, and interrogate him.
And Rose and the Doctor meet the alternate Rose.
Yeah, the dog. Rose isn't particularly impressed by this,
but the doctor is very amused.
She immediately we have the same sort of scene with Pete that we did in Father's Day, where she's sort of asking questions and sort of gushing at him, and then she meets Mum and upsets her mum. Well, it's not actually her mum, is it? But upsets Jackie by saying something, and just while that's all kicking off, a load of Cybermen rock up, and not long after that, the president gets deleted, and then everybody in the house starts getting deleted. The Doctor and Rose leg it. Pete just about gets out, and Jackie gets caught, and all hell breaks loose, and the Doctor says, we surrender, we give in, sort of thing, and the Cybermen, nope, we're going to kill you anyway, because it's the end of the episode and we need a cliffhanger.
Oh, we did that very quickly, and we actually got most of everything. That's very good. Thank you, Adam.
Just don't be sarcastic.
You did speed through that. That was
that's because I was allowed to. All right then, Lanya.
Master.
Oh, jeez.
I remember an interview back when this first came out with the owner of the house, and they replaced all of his windows with balsa wood and candy glass for breaking them. But he was still a little upset watching them film.
Understandably so.
Windows.
So anyway, the second episode, they get rescued.
I have to get to the second episode. Hang on.
Christ. No, I'm doing it now. They get rescued by a woman, a Welsh woman, in a blue van, a DAF van.
Is it Eve Miles?
No, but it's a DAF van. Obviously, the last letter's fallen off, because obviously it's DAF is what it should be saying. They get away in the van, and they meet all the little band of mercenaries, including Mickey and Lumic, who's sort of trying to manipulate things. But we've got to mention he's dying apparently, and as the episodes proceed,
we all are, Adam.
He's dying.
Listen
so
to
far.
Them; they're dying, R2. Curse my metal body! I wasn't fast enough.
So anyway, the Cybermen are wreaking havoc around the streets, sort of rounding up people for their little cyber mission. And it's quite funny that Mickey and Ricky also running away from the Cybermen, wearing exactly the same clothes, but very conveniently running on the opposite sides of the screen, which is quite handy for the special effect required to make two Knolls. And I do love that, how you know the difference between the two. Ricky wrinkles up his nose a bit, and Mickey opens up his eyes a bit wider, a bit just sort of a...
I thought that he did an excellent job at being both
Hang on. Have I said he didn't do an excellent job of characterizing...
No,
well, I'm just saying that's how we see the difference between them. Flared nostrils for evil Ricky. Well, he's not actually evil, is he? He's just tough. And sort of, or thin lips as well, because that's what tough people do, don't they? They flare their nostrils and they make their lips all thin. And then big wide open eyes for Mickey to make him look a bit more innocent.
Master?
Jeez.
You know when the doctor and alternate Pete and Rose and everyone are crouched behind those big rubbish bins?
Yes.
And the Cybermen had come out of the little alley? That's the exact same alley that the Ninth Doctor and Rose appeared in at the beginning of the first of the Captain Jack stories.
Fascinating. I should actually get a...
Where the Doctor runs across that cat.
I should really get a soundbite of Spock going fascinating for these instances, but never mind. Where are we going up to? All right, so,
well,
yeah,
you know, if I ever come over to Britain, I'm going to be spending 2 weeks at least going and finding all these spots.
Yes, it will be, ironically, the same 2 weeks I decided to go on a trip to Australia. Yes. Right, where do we get up to? So that Mickey and Ricky are trying to run away from these Cybermen, but they get cornered down a side street. Mickey is able to get over this this wire fence. Ricky, on the other hand, not so lucky.
Deleted.
But it's funny, when Ricky gets deleted, Mickey's face changes. He suddenly flares his nostrils and makes his lips go all thin. And off he goes. And then Lumic, his little sidekick, Mr. Spall, he's shown that he was fed up with the whole thing and tries to actually scupper Lumic, but ends up getting done in the process. And Mickey rejoins the rest of the mercenaries and Rose and Pete. And of course, Geordie mercenary is very, very upset that Ricky dies, and he holds it against what he thinks to be is sort of wimpy Mickey. So then we find the camera starts sort of descending on the ultimate sort of lair of Lumic, which is a great big humongous building, where their next part of the mission is to actually get to infiltrate it and get on the inside and stuff. So Mickey and his new best friend, Geordie bloke, are given the mission to fly the airship to the lair. The Doctor and Welsh driver woman go on a little walk in the sort of dungeons of the building where have a nice
I was
chat.
Looking up something. Did you mention that that Lumic gets converted?
Not yet, because you haven't got to that bit yet.
You've gone past it.
Well, can I talk about this bit first? Anyway, the Doctor and a Welsh driver woman have a conversation about her life. As soon as she has that conversation about her life and her husband and stuff like that, we know that she's going to be dead within the next 3 or 4 minutes. Lumic, meanwhile, has said that he didn't even give her that long. Lumic, meanwhile, has told the Cyberman that he's ready to be converted on his last breath. What?
No, he completely objects.
No, that's
first of all, Colin Spout attempts to kill him.
Yes. But he pulls all his wires out.
As he's dying, the Cybermen say to him, "Oh, we can take your pain away." And he starts objecting.
No, he doesn't. He said he's ready on his last breath.
The whole reason the Cybermen exist is to convert him.
Yeah, but he did say he's ready to. He hasn't got his body's gone. He's quite happy to become a cyber.
He says no, we're not yet ready.
Yes, because he wasn't ready. He wasn't on the verge of death at that point. He implied that when his body was about to pack in, because they said right from the beginning of the story that he's dying, that he anyway, I'm not going to dwell on this part of it.
No.
Yes. Who's right? Me. Thank you very much.
Hold on a minute. There's three of us here, and I haven't had my vote yet.
Go on, then.
And I'm very, very sorry, Kirby, but I agree with Adam.
Yay!
Lumix says, okay, Lumix, he's starting to die.
Yes.
And
he's starting to
say, you're in pain, we can remove pain forever. Lumix then says, no, not yet, I'm not yet ready. The Cyberman says, we will give you immortality. And then Lumix says, I've told you, I will upgrade only with my last breath. And then
that's what I said.
Cyberman says, then breathe no more.
Yes, so he did say that he'll do it on his last breath.
Yes.
So I'm right. Thank you, Ben.
He's going reluctantly.
Right, so I'm just having a camera issue. The memory card is running out, so I just had to resurrect the recording of the video. See what I'll do for our viewer. Right, anyway, so all hell is breaking loose on the big cyber lair. They've got Rose. They've got, Rose and Peter pretending that they're, they're hypnotized by these sort of ear pod things, because they got dummy ones in their ears, you see. So they pretend that they're, because they're on the search for Jackie. Little do they know, it's a bit late for Jackie, unfortunately. And as almost the same time, they meet Cyber Jackie, and she was a bit surprising. Out of all these millions or thousands of Cybermen, they just happened to bump into Jackie Cyberman.
Master.
Oh, no.
It's a science fiction fantasy.
Oh, for God's sake! It wasn't even worth holding breath for that one. The same sort of time.
I've got to say, on that point, I definitely agree with Kirby.
The Doctor and Welsh driver woman meet a Cyberman who is, because he's found their sort of emotion inhibitor thing, and this Cyberman's a bit unconscious after sort of being zapped, and. We find out who that person was, and then the Doctor just kills them, just puts them out of their misery.
It was the night before her wedding.
Yeah, sad, wasn't it? But the Doctor kills her. No one's disagreeing with me. So, meanwhile, as all this stuff's going off, the Doctor communicates with rather subtly with Mickey up in the airship. The big reveal of Lumix Cyberperson and his big throny chair thing, who's now Cyber Controller, hasn't quite caught the belly, but maybe he can develop that later. And just moving forward a little bit.
He's Cyber Controller complete with seeing his brain the way it should be.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, you've got to see the brain of the leader.
I remember this.
Isn't that? That's written into science fiction.
The action figure of this particular character was really quite cool. Anyway, the Doctor manages to get Mickey to put this code in and scrambles all the cyber people's brains, allowing some explosions to go off and a little bit of escaping to do onto the roof. And he does really, because Geordie bloke wants to get away, but Mickey insists they go back and try and rescue them. Yes.
Master.
I forgot to mention about the woman getting done.
Lumix airship just happens to have a receptacle that Rose's phone from a different universe just fits into exactly
right
to do all this.
So it's a science fiction fantasy TV show. And without it, there would have been a problem.
And he equalizes from the 18-yard line with a screamer to the top corner.
So he drops this sort of rather robust stepladder thingy. So the Doctor and Rose and Pete climb up it, and a Cyberman as well, which just happens to be the Lumic Cyberman, but we thought he'd got it done in. Anyway, that he...
And we thought that he couldn't move because he's on his...
On his big throne.
Chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, he finished the big poo-poo that he was doing on that throne, and decided he was able to jump, climb up this... this stepladder. Now, the Doctor throws down his sonic screwdriver to
that to really scared Pete. Me. I thought that the Doctor would that Pete would drop it.
I'm sure he'd get another one. They used to be on sale at Toys R Us when they used to be at Toys R Us. Funny enough. Anyway, but he doesn't drop it. But he's supposed to be using the setting to burn through the rope, which doesn't actually burn through until one frame of it just snapping, which was a bit. Bit strange. So it doesn't work on wood, but it works on rope, apparently. Yes.
Well, rope isn't wood, and it's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Okay. Anyway, also he cut through one slat, and that was enough to send the cyber trigger flying into some rather appropriate explosions. Yes.
He cuts through one rope, and the other rope happens to break at exactly the same height.
Yeah. Well, you're sure it broke? He just didn't lose his balance and fall. No.
Yes, anyway, it broke. You can see it split.
Okay. Anyway, so Rose, that's what the point I was trying to make. That was a bit silly, but it's a science fiction fantasy TV show. So
exactly. There you go.
Anyway, so the TARDIS is been repaired after they've spent a bit of time there for this sort of green thing to regenerate. This almost like kryptonite. Apparently, the TARDIS is now powered by some sort of kryptonite. And Rose sort of hints to Pete that she might be his daughter from another universe. And Mickey decides to stay behind. I was very disappointed when I watched this story originally, and they decided to leave Mickey behind. The Doctor's quite pleased. He didn't try and stop him or persuade him not to, even though he's out of place in the alternative universe.
And there's the deleted scene where we find out that the other bloke happened to be Ricky's lover.
The Geordie bloke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on the DVD and the Blu-ray.
Is it? Oh, dear. Okay. Anyway, so then Rose and the Doctor get back to our universe, and there's a big reunion scene between Rose and Jackie, who's a bit confused as to why she's getting such a big hug off her daughter. And that's essentially the end of the story. I think I deserve a round of applause for getting through that within 35 minutes. And that, not a sarcastic round of applause. Thank you very much, Mr. Shoveler.
No, I'm waiting for other people to join in. I can't do a round of applause by myself, can I? I mean, if everyone listening was clapping as well, then that would have sounded like a Royal Albert Hall full of people.
Right, then Lillian Robin says, hang on.
Hold on. Everybody listening, no matter when you're listening, what time it is, what day it is, what year it is, because you might be listening to this way in the past, which is our future. Yeah. But then all clap now. All clap, Adam.
I do believe in fairies. I do believe in fairies. I do.
So can you now hear, Adam, in your head, thousands of people clapping simultaneously?
No, I can hear a large degree of sarcasm and gap filling that is not really required. Where are we?
Hold on. I can hear Andy Nunny clapping.
Lily Robin says, hang on. What?
I love it when you get stroppy. It's so funny.
What? I'm not stroppy. This is about the closest I can find to applause. Song by Lady Gaga. Right, Lillian Robin says, you mean the alley in the Doctor Dances Empty Child episode? And then a round of applause from Lillian. A very appropriate round of applause from Lillian.
You're kidding.
What?
Okay. See? There you go. There's...
Oh, yes.
I think that went on for way too long.
No, it's exactly the right length of time. And it's very appropriate for what you were saying earlier on about the whole of the universe giving me a clap. Not the clap.
You should be so lucky, sir.
Anyway, right, so... what did I thought to think of this story? Yeah, so it was nice to get back to a story that had a bit of a cliffhanger in it. Nice to see the revamped Cybermen. I did like their choreography of their... sort of very much because obviously the Cybermen and the Daleks were sort of based on the Reich when they were there marching and stuff like that. It was sort of even more exaggerated with these Cybermen and the camera
angles. Was that the second, third or fourth Reich?
I don't know. Fourth, is it? I don't know. Anyway,
no, it's
but,
the third.
Or was it a third? Third, okay. Sir, the third. Fourth. Well, this one, therefore, the Cybermen would have been the fourth, wouldn't it? But bearing in mind, this alternative universe, I think they implied that Britain lost the war anyway. So maybe it was initially run by German powers. I don't know. Anyway, so these Cybermen are shot from really cool angles, right down low, as the four or five actors in Cybermen suits, including friend of the show John Davey. They did a very good job of multiplying them to make it look like many. I liked the.
I believe this is before he was Cyberman and stuff. This is Paul Casey is the main.
Yeah, okay. But he may have been one of the nine other Cybermen.
Could have been. I'm not
sure. I bet
he
was. I'm pretty sure he showed me a picture of him in the original Cyber. Doesn't matter anyway. Oh, for God's sake.
Yes, it does. It all matters.
No, it doesn't.
It's all matter.
Talking about camera angles, I just like the way the camera angles were shot. I also like the introduction of the word delete as the Cybermen's exterminate. And they even used, for old time's sake, the word, this is Lumix, saying excellent. Which was a nice little throwback to the wonderful, whose name I forget for the moment, David.
That was me doing a guitar lick, by the way, after Kirby said excellent.
You're not supposed to lick your guitar, because you can get electric shocks from doing that if it's obviously plugged in. I quite enjoyed this story. It's I didn't like the fact we lose Mickey, but on the whole,
we don't lose him.
I liked him being in the TARDIS crew because it was another dimension. Also, like the fact that him and the Doctor seem to be building a bit of a relationship, and then off he goes. But yeah, I quite like this story. I think the tenth Doctor is really sort of coming into his stride now with this particular story. I know it's halfway through, but he's really the way he is for the rest of his time. And not bad at all. What did you think about it, Kirby?
I really enjoy this one. This is one of the, practically any of the first three or four seasons of New Who. I can pick up and watch at any time, but this is, in particular, one of my absolute favorites, but partly because of all of the throwbacks, all the references to old Who as well.
Oh, jeez. I'll get a bit bored with throwbacks, but it was all right in this story.
I don't, and really? I'm the one whose opinion you asked.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Kirby. So what do you think of this one then, Ben?
Yeah, it's a very good episode, as Kirby just said. The first four series of New Who, you could just pick most episodes at any time and just watch them time and time and time again. And this is one of the better ones.
Next week's is not.
Be quiet, Kirby.
We'll deal with that next week.
Yes.
Right now, it's an excellent episode. So the Cybermen, the return of the Cybermen, the whole delete thing, the noise that they made, the stop.
Yeah, I love that.
That is what it's about, isn't it? That's their USP. USP, unique selling point, isn't it? Their stompiness. Yeah. That was their scary point.
Yeah.
And they were great. It was great to see them back. Tennant was obviously excellent.
He was.
It was lovely to see Pete Tyler and Rose strike up their relationship. And because that's lovely, because it's just the whole what could have been. You know, Rose never got that. And because of the Doctor, not only did she get to weirdly help her dad die, she then got to spend time with him. All right, it wasn't him, but it was him. She obviously got confused about how it wasn't him, because it obviously is. It's just a different dimension of him. And I thought that was lovely. I do like that whole thing. As for the losing Mickey, you know what? I think that was obviously written in for the story arc, wasn't it? Because he had to go or he couldn't come back. So
shame.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he really. What episode was this? 5 and 6, 6 and 7.
I'm sure.
So he's absolutely essential to for the season finale.
Okay, exactly. Which is a double header.
And if he hadn't stayed in that universe, they would have lost.
Exactly. Okay. And he's actually only not in it for 4 or 5 episodes there.
Yeah.
Before he comes back for the double header. So he's not actually ever out of it for that long. And the episodes that he's not in, I can't remember what they are. But I'm sure over the next couple of weeks I'll be reminded. But excellent episodes. Cybermen were brilliant. And easily watched time and time again.
Indeed. Right then, Kirby. Now you can move on to your favourite section, the humongous list of feedback that you've had via your request.
We didn't have a lot. I'm sorry.
So what are you doing out for a week, isn't it?
Well, even though,
yeah, I'm going back to the previous week as well, but yes. Let's see. Oh, okay. I was looking at the wrong one. Okay, so from a week ago, I'm going to have to go back to another one because Andy Nunney tried to get in ahead of time, and he ended up causing some feedback there. So on the 22nd, Andy said, are we doing both Age of the Cybermen and The Rise of Steel this week?
To which the answer would be yes.
Well, no, because that's wrong. Those are not titles. Anyway, Tim Drury says,
yes.
Tim Drury says, I think the pattern is, to do the two-parters together. Yes. Someone named Adam Pearson says yes.
Is he the illustrator?
And then Alan T. Butcher becomes pedantic and says, no, I'm definitely sorry. Not.
What?
It's Rise of the Cybermen and the Age of Steel this week.
Okay.
Andy says, that's bizarre. My post has been changed. Rob Lansdowne says, old chestnut. Not sure it's legal to watch Mickey episodes anymore.
Right.
Lillian Robbins says, then we will watch a Ricky episode instead.
It's like you're there, isn't it, in a different world. It's, yes. You're just there in a different name. You're all of them. You're arguing with yourself.
Robert Wintz Jr. says, reminded me of another show that may have got its idea from Doctor Who, and he's referring to Fringe, which is an excellent show, by the way.
Yeah, what are you talking about? The reunion of Fringe that was on Sky One this week. That was
I really did like that.
James Corden was a bit annoying.
Series 8, I think, was probably the best. And then after that, you know, at least they all stuck around for all the 10 series, though.
So
but
what
no,
was
I haven't
that
seen
called,
the
so I can search
oh,
for
it's
it.
Really good, Ben. It's really good. I enjoyed that.
Oh, we're going to wait. I'm waiting until next Saturday.
It's very moving as well.
Youngest thought was over it.
I'm not going to give any spoilers, but there's a couple of. Get a box of tissues ready.
Fringe, not Friends.
No,
oh, sorry.
I really don't. What? Oh, did we misunderstand for comedic purposes?
You actually had me excited that there was a
beginning
of Fringe.
Like I care about people crying in Friends. Seriously, that's just going to make me just want to spark forward.
Elliot Gould in the audience and stuff. It was very good. But what got me was David Beckham appearing on it. I thought, what the hell has he got to do with...
Might as well get
Prince Harry on it. Anyway, right, carry on.
Anyway, let's carry on.
Now to last week, my request for feedback...
Oh, I thought you'd already done that.
No, that was Andy Nunney trying to get in ahead of time.
No, Alexa, front room light on.
Okay.
All right, carry on. I'm lit up now.
Hang on, my Alexa just told me that she can't find a device called front room.
Right. Adam, is this Brandon? Okay, hang on. Brandon Moore says, Adam, did you read my earlier comment? I wasn't paying attention. Idea comment was, sorry, I'm late. I got stuck in a parallel world. Trust me on this. Yes is the answer. It just got read again. Linnea Robbins said, yes, he read it. Brandon Moore said, maybe I got ears of steel. And then Robert Vance Jr. says, hi, everyone. See more. Oh, no, I've got to click on that. It's nothing there. It just says, hi, everyone.
Okay, now.
Hey, Alexa, front room light off.
Oh, thanks for that, Ben.
Did it work?
No, it didn't. No, but
I'm watching on the video feed. I was hoping to plunge you into darkness.
Yeah, what you need to do is I forget what Master calls his heater, but you tell it to turn the heater on.
That might not work, as it's not actually the digital pluggy thing that it was originally plugged into. It broke, so that would be you'd be saying things for no reason. Carry on, Kirby.
Anyway, when I posted for the actual feedback last week, it was after Andy. So I said, yes, both of them together, Andy. If only you've been patient enough to wait for my feedback request. Andy says,
Andy.
But Kirby, I had to get the ironing done before going out.
Say ironing again. Ironing.
And I
can't Americans say ironing?
Ironing.
I said, I had to wake up over on the other side of the pond and find the picture and edit it. And Andy says, yes, but some of us get up in the morning. Robert Wince Jr. Again makes a reference about Fringe, not Friends. I point out the combination, the five doctors reference.
Five doctors were in Friends.
Apparently so. Apparently Ant-Man was in Friends as well. I didn't even know that. Maybe he was married to Phoebe, apparently.
Robert Wince Jr.
Oh, sorry.
He was in Friends.
Was he?
Review of Rise of the Cybermen / The Age of Steel. The Doctor, Rose, and Mickey land in a parallel world. We see the birth of the Cybermen. Torchwood is mentioned twice and will be taken down on Pete's World later on.
Yeah.
We get Rose the dog in a Ricky Mickey duo.
World. Pete's World. Party time. Excellent. Sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I know.
A better story for Mickey.
I've got my socks on. Just thought I'd pass it on.
Like the line, I'm not the tin dog. A ragtag team stops Lumic and the Cybermen, but only temporary.
Mm.
They will be back.
They'll be back.
But not Lumic, just the Cybermen.
I'll be back.
Mickey stays behind to help his parallel world grandmother. Every time I watch the show Fringe... F-R-I-N-G-E.
Do, 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 do,
it reminds me of this story in the John Courtney story.
No, mine sounded better. More really.
Sorry, Kirby.
I was putting myself on mute again. Oh, no.
And the John Pertwee story, I'm assuming he's talking about the one where the drilling to the mantle and everything destroyed.
That's what she has said.
What's that called? The Inferno.
Inferno, yes.
Inferno? That's
story. That story is brilliant.
It is indeed.
Then he continues, warning spoiler for Fringe, F-R-I-N-G-E. Turns out down the line they have problems jumping between worlds like Fringe, F-R-I-N-G-E.
I don't remember them having alternate universes. unless that's what they were referring to by Joey and Chandler's flat. Maybe that was an alternate universe.
Well, and, when Joey wore all Chandler's clothes at all the same time was a very amusing scene.
I'm lunging.
Oh, yes, I'm lunging. He was going commando, wasn't he?
But surely that would only affect one pair of trousers.
Yes. Yes, Kirby, carry on.
Robert West Jr. continues. It was an okay story. My rating for both is a 3 out of 5 out of 5. 3.5 out of 5. And then he posts a picture. I don't know what that's a picture of.
Oh, I don't know either, because I'm not looking at it. I was relying on you to know everything in the usual way. So
I don't recognize who those people are. They might be from Friends. I don't know.
I don't even know what I'm looking at. Oh, I've got a bling come through. Oh, some stuff is coming through on the live feed. We have... yes, Brannamore says A-L-E-X-A, front light off.
Alexa, front light off.
And then he says, Ant-Man was Friends, but you couldn't see him. Ah, very good, yes. And then he said, the 20 megabyte Fringe podcast. Oh, bugger. I pressed the wrong button. That would have been quite amusing if I was able to do that correctly.
Need me to go dung down no 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 no
essentially a bit like this. Oh, I pressed the wrong button again.
Front light off.
Oh dear, someone's got a sounds like they've got laryngitis.
I was trying not to.
Is that it?
There's more.
Oh god, carry on.
Neil James.
Yes.
Rise of the Cybermen, The Age of Steel. Delete, delete, delete. I wish I could delete this story. Parallel worlds always bore me. The whole urban / industrial aesthetic is dull and ugly. I adore Roger Lloyd Pack's comedy work, but his performance is panto.
Which is essentially what he was doing in this. Yes?
I liked Pete Tyler's story in Father's Day. They should have left it alone.
No.
The Mickey Ricky thing isn't clever, interesting, or fun.
Yes, it is.
The new Cybermen are... Wait until I read Roberts... The other Roberts... our Roberts' feedback.
Yeah, just say anyway. Robert. That'll do.
Yes. The new Cybermen are all far too in sync. The Dully... catchphrase was a dumb idea. And
no, it wasn't.
I don't like the 10th Doctor wearing a tuxedo. Jodie Whittaker rocked it so much better.
I'd rather wear that than nothing at all, like he does in when he becomes a Dr. Donna. Carry on.
But, you know, he's wearing a tuxedo as a disguise.
Yes. A cunning disguise.
Both episodes are well directed. Well, there's a reason for that. Hmm. And Jackie Tyler looks delightfully booby in her birthday dress.
She does. That was one of the things I forgot to mention that I quite enjoyed.
But I find this two-parter pretty painful to watch.
Aww.
1 star out of 5.
Oh, Neil.
Oh, and in both sets of commentaries, which for some reason they have different sets of people doing commentaries for episode 1 and episode 2, everyone mentions that dress.
Splendid. So,
Robert Wentz Jr. says, Neil got a couple coming up that's going to get a 1-star rating.
Yeah, okay.
Neil says to Robert Wentz Jr., I think I can definitely guess one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Wentz Jr. says to Neil, LOL, you would probably be right. Andy Nunny sends a GIF sending... virtual hug loading.
Have you had your
that's for you Adam for last week.
Yeah
with
I shall explain if someone reminds me to do so. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, and Robert Wentz Jr. also sends his condolences, as does Dave Cooper. Now
nice
to
of them.
This week's
hey
That this was week. Just last week. Now
Before you go on with this week's, we have stuff coming through on the live feed. Pick from Fringe says... That's up. Christian Basil says, that's podcasting royalty. I haven't got a jingle for that. It says, I'm beginning to think that these are just voices in your head. And, so am I, actually. And then he says... It's Ricky! Didn't know he watched EastEnders. And Lauren Nick says, a different angle, Adam. Yes, it's... I don't like it, actually. It makes me look even fatter than I actually am, because you can see my chins. You may continue, Kirby.
I've got to find it.
Oh, while you're doing that...
Here we go.
Hang on, before you start.
Wait.
Hang on, Jane. I just wanted to say, we were talking about the Friends reunion that's currently.
I don't remember that.
But there's a very charming reunion you might want to watch. Not so much a reunion, a tribute on Channel 4 of one of the greatest British comedy series of all time, Friday Night Dinner, celebrates its 10 years, or it only did 6 series.
Nah.
It's really good, and it's a really lovely little look back on the 10 years of 6 series of Friday Night Dinner. Wrong tune!
Yes. I'm not a fan of that because
I love it.
What's his name at the In-Betweeners?
Yes. What?
I don't. Yes. Simon Bird.
Don't you like him?
Yeah. I don't like the fact that excuse me, he plays exactly the same character.
he does the same way.
And he's incredibly, on the fact he's typecast, he can do one thing, and he's such a one trick pony, and it works in the In-Betweeners, but then when he went and did it in another program, it's just like, no, click off. I said click off, by the way.
But for those people who do like Friday Night Dinner, it's a good program to watch, Channel 4. And it's probably on more 4. And back to Kirby.
Well, never mind, because when I looked at what I posted last week, yesterday, for feedback, we get Neil James repeating his feedback from the week before, exactly word for word. And then Robert Woods Jr. also says, my review is on last week's feedback.
Yeah.
And then I posted the two links to the two Tardisodes, and then there's Ian Kirk.
Oh, is that it? Oh, good. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, I was expecting to be longer.
We still got a lot of feedback. It's just that it took three posts to go through it all.
And Lillian Robin says, I already mentioned that angle. Don't worry, it'll never happen again. And we can move on to the rest of the feedback. Oh, apart from the podcasting royalty, maybe I should get the Her Majesty the Queen's theme tune that used to be on the BBC many years ago. Or should I just play God Save the Queen? But that wouldn't be saying something royal, a bit royal bit of music. Maybe a theme tune to the royal family.
Or maybe just a fanfare or something.
I haven't got a fanfare. Have I? I guess I've got a fanfare. That's a really good one. How do you spell fanfare?
What's the difference between a fanfare and a funfare?
What?
If you want an explanation,
what's this one?
Then then we really do live in massively different continents, don't we?
That's supposed to be a fanfare, according to my sound effect line.
That seems to be more like less of a royal fanfare, more of a King Kong fanfare.
Yeah, I tell you
what's actually the beginning of a piece of music called Fanfare for the Common Man.
No, this is Fanfare for the Common Man. So I'll use that one. So, and a comment on the live feed from Christian Basil, a podcasting royalty. He says, not to be outdone, the Golden Girls had a reunion. It's just a picture of Betty White on a porch swing smiling. And then
Says, I was going to say, most of them are dead now, I'm sure.
Branham also says, I should have waited. Angels.
I apologise for not waiting for the punchline.
Oh, magic!
What's happened?
Well, because I've let him in...
Look at the live feed. What's it happening?
It's a long story. Now, you won't see it on the live feed because of the camera angle. But because I had to find the wires for the speaker, I pulled everything out and then didn't put it all back in again. Of course, when I opened the door up and let the dog in, everything just hit the deck. So I'm blaming him.
Well,
you've got a deck in your house instead of a floor?
What? What are you on about?
I can beat that, Adam, because my shed roof fell in earlier because of the moving around of the shed. It's now in the hot part of the garden.
I've heard you're not really supposed to move sheds around an awful lot.
Which shed? First, second, and third?
It's the first shed. It's my original proper my shed, which I'm still in, but it's in a different place, which is in a really sunny part of the garden. It was really hot today, and it must have been about 40 degrees in here. And the roof, because it's all stuck up with sticky tape, all fell down. And now it's being held up because I've removed all the shelving from behind me, you see, which is in the new top shed. And the roof's currently being held up by three bits of wood that are kind of like holding up themselves. It's a fantastic design, but if I suddenly go all quiet, it's because the roof's caved in again and I'm covered in...
Okay, we'll bear that in mind and call the emergency services. Kirby will be on standby to call the emergency services if needed. Back to the show.
You're being sarcastic now.
No, Lillian Robbins says, yawn, the 20 megabyte shed podcast.
I've got loads more to come.
Right then, we've got Terry Miles has sent something in, so I'm going to have to get sent to one of you guys to read out. But in the meantime, I have this from Brandon Moore.
Who the hell do you think you are? You're staff. You're nothing but staff.
I like that.
Good evening, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Mr. M with some feedback for Rise of the Cybermen and The Age of Steel by Tom McRae. And some audio feedback this time.
Thank you.
Don't worry, Adam, you haven't scared me off.
Good.
Yeah, anyway, I'm sure it will happen at some
First
point.
First time that's ever happened.
It's the genesis of the Cybermen, but this time in a parallel world. I think it was an interesting concept to give us a parallel world story, and it was an interesting concept to give us a Cyberman origin story. But I don't think it was an interesting idea to give us both of them together. It's a story that's so packed full of different elements. There's a lot of characters, there's a lot of things that happen. And in a lot of ways, the Cybermen end up playing second fiddle to all of those things. When they come back in the series finale, they are used to much better effect, even though there's lots of characters and a whole other group of monsters in that story. They just seem a little bit underwhelming this time around. Maybe it's because it takes until the end of the first part for them to actually arrive, and the second part then mostly focuses on the infiltration of the cyber factory, that there isn't a lot of time with them before they're shuffled off of the screen. But I enjoy this story. It's a solid sort of 7.5 or 8 out of 10.
Good.
And the second series has a lot of solid hitters compared to other series. There's not outstanding, mind-blowing stories, although, okay, we've probably just come away from some of the best ones, but it's very solid. There's only really two stories which I don't care much for, and probably not the two that you'd expect. Yeah, I love one story that I think you wouldn't expect, but we'll get to that in good time. The Doctor does seem to drift through this episode, reacting to events as they happen, and never seems to have much of a plan. This gives the story a Davison era feeling, which is probably a good thing. Rose is very good in this story, both as human and dog. The death of Ricky and Mickey's subsequent usurpation of him is not unexpected, but at least it means we won't have to awkwardly sidestep Noel Clark for another few weeks. Kimuka Jury is great as an even tartier and tartar version of Jackie, and it's also great to have Sean Dingwall back as Pete Tyler.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a shame that he didn't take up the offer to travel in the TARDIS for a few episodes. Like Renette last week, this is a series packed full of potential TARDIS travellers.
Right.
You can even try and craft an alternate narrative of Series 2 where they did all join the TARDIS. But anyway, Pete will be back. The preachers work okay. Andrew Hayden Smith is meh. He plays it a bit too broad for my liking, and no idea what on earth that hairstyle was. Mrs. Moore, no relation, is fantastic. And like the Doctor, I too was pretty upset by her death. We also have Russell on Moonlighting as the president of the UK, and he seems quite competent, so he wasn't going to last very long. Now, the new Cybermen. I like the look, the sort of smooth, steely coldness, but they do look a bit flimsy, like one strong gust of wind would knock them over. And that stomping is a bit too much. They must weigh a ton. And the attempts to give them a Dalek-like exterminate catchphrase with them chanting delete incessantly didn't last that long, did it? But overall, they're a possible modern reinterpretation of a classic design. It's, you know, there's worse to come. Mr. Lumic, however, is something else.
Yes.
Roger Lloyd Pack seems to be delivering his lines from beyond the grave. Surely the only possible explanation for the arch campness of his performance, which is probably the worst acting so far in New Who.
Oh my goodness.
And they even botched his upgrade. He was wheezing and coughing to the last. Well, it's good to, you know, see a nice father-son reunion from the Harry Potter films, though.
Yes.
Always touching. Oh, and Mr. Crane is one of many bird-related names in the Russell T. Davis era. Speaking of which, next week we have a Mr. Magpie, Hungry Wives, and yes, an old woman having their face.
Well, that deserves.
So I'll see you then. Bye now.
Excellent work as ever. Thank you very much, Mr. M. Right then, Kirby, would you do this the honour of reading out Robert's blurb?
And I also get to do Linda and Terry Miles, so I get to do both of them.
Not consecutively, because I'm going to insert another piece of audio.
Fine. Okay, so Robert, which is okay.
Robert says, okay, that you've already read it.
Huh?
You said Robert's, but what? You said Robert's, which is okay. So I presume you've already read it.
No, I'm about to read Robert's, which I completely and totally disagree with Robert's review.
Okay.
He says, my review of Rise of Cyber Dudes Age of Steel. Upon first watching this, I had never watched Vicar of Dibley or Only Fools and Horses, so I had no preconceptions of Roger Lloyd Pack. And I've never seen either of them, well, so I don't know. Roger. In my opinion, then, as with now, he does seem to be playing it a bit like a pantomime villain.
Even if he
keeps it low-key. It's nice to see Graham Harper back directing Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yes. I miss chest units on Cybermen, and these only have that little circular thing on their chest. It's just not the same. Well, no, you know, Jackie wouldn't be.
Cybermen change all the time, so it's never going to be the same.
Well, Jackie had the chest units anyway.
Ooh, Kirby! That deserves a slight ding.
And who thought adding bloody over-the-top sounds for the Cybermen movement? It's just so over-the-top and ridiculous.
I did forget to mention, actually, Kirby. Remember when they were showing or illustrating the machine that did all the work? The little cutting implements were on these extremely long, fast-moving arms, which I thought was a bit silly, but then it's a science fiction fantasy TV show, so I suppose
say something about that set. That was a brewery. All of those circular things are filled with beer.
Ooh.
All those fats. Ooh. Anyway.
Sounds nice.
Anyway, back to Robert.
Yes.
You can hear where they are a mile off with that noise. Something else that was silly. Cybermen conversion saunas with a whirring saw and knife. That just looks stupid. The area they filmed in reminds me of that episode with Sim's master. I kept thinking he was going to turn up because of that, even though I know it was not until next series. A nice scene with the woman who was made a Cyberman. It was stupid that the Jackie Cyberman just happened to confront our heroes out of all those Cybermen. Yeah, right. Robert, it's a science fiction fantasy TV program. Not sure I'm sold on Mickey leaving. It seems very out of the blue, and I hate the stupid scenes where Mickey is made to look stupid by the Doctor and Rose. No, it's not funny, RTD. Not really a fan of these episodes, which is a shame. And the less said about that ridiculous cyber chair, the better.
Okay, is that it?
That's it. And by the way, he's disliked it more this time around than he did 9 years ago. He didn't like it 9 years ago, but he dislikes it more.
Okay, well, that's consistent. we have more comments coming through on the live feed. We have podcasting royalty. Kristen Basil says, nobody gives a shed. I think that's a euphemism for something. And then Brannamore says, Jackie's chest units deserve more than just a slight ding. Oh, go on then. And Robert Vince Jr. says, they drop the delete not until after the Dalek Cyberman battle. So apparently after that's when they stop saying delete. I like delete. I used to have a little a room guard Cyberman used to be animated and used to say stuff like delete and stuff like that. Must be up on the cupboard
somewhere.
I may have
to research. I'm pretty sure that they said delete afterwards.
Okay, right then. So
in fact, the one where we have the Cyber King and the next Doctor, I believe they say delete there.
Okay. Right, I have some audio from Andy, which may or may not be loud enough.
Well, good morning, Chris. It's loud enough. It's Andy, and he's called us on a Sunday morning, and I'm sitting here just wearing a towel. I thought you'd like to know that. Might be a mental image you certainly don't want to keep.
Oh, dear.
Just in my morning constitutional at the paper shop, had a shower. My step count, if you really want to know, is 6,782 steps already today. Yeah, I'm going to do more this afternoon. Anyway, I watched... a week or so ago now, Rise of the Cybermen and The Age of Steel, or the other way around, as it somehow came up on my Facebook page. I don't know how that happened. Thank you, Alan, for correcting me. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It really does rollick along, doesn't it? It's a very good pace. I think it's a very well-crafted story. The Nicky and Ricky, of course, that plays on a joke, but I don't think he's ever been Nicky before, but it's always been other things as well. So actually, this time he now does become somebody else. So does he become Ricky in the New World? Or does he say Mickey? I wonder how that is.
But that's the thing that works out really well, getting into
a parallel universe where everything's it's just nearly the same, just slightly different. I think that the Mickey saying, oh, it's in my world, what, we Zeppelins? He looks up and seeing all the differences. Some interesting parallels at the moment, because obviously with the virus going on and people being controlled, and if you believe a COVID-idiot friend of mine on Facebook, it's all the Bill Gates and the Chinese trying to control with the microchips. Yeah, he's also a flat earther, but let's not go there. So the thing with the ear pods now, and you think how prescient that was, because now, you know, so many people do wear these cordless, what are they called, earbuds? I don't know what they're called. I wear old ones anyway, so I'm old school. But it's, you know, that you could see that happening, you know, people could be influenced by it. So I think that's a good piece. Interesting, of course, it's the alternative birth of the Cybermen, you know, because it's just, it's interesting that, you know, you've got a parallel universe where the same thing happened, but through a different way. Because obviously you got these Vento, this mad, totally bonkers bloke. But interesting, doing it for, was he really doing it for the right reasons? Did he do it, you know, genuinely to try and, you know, to save himself, well, to save himself, to save other people as well? What was his motivation? And the parallel Pete and Jackie, Pete Tyler, who actually was success. Interesting that he's saying, you know, he and Jackie were splitting up, and Jackie, god dear, she's a cow in that, wasn't she? I don't think anyone was really too sad when she got bumped off. And the dog called Rose. But no, I think that was Pete Tyler came into his own, because he actually, you know, did see a very different Pete Tyler there. And it's interesting watching the byplay with him and Rose, and she never actually told him who she was, you know, how it worked out. But and of course he didn't go in the TARDIS, did he? So was he scared? Was he frightened? Did he actually know somebody? I wonder. Anyway, the inventor, yeah, he's going quietly bonkers. And then actually, of course, got taken over himself by the Cybermen, you know, he realised, you know, it's not like Frankenstein's monster, isn't it? Where the monster has actually taken over and taken control, isn't it? And his sidekick, who was loyal until to do him in, and then tried to kill, not his master, but I suppose his boss, and then got done in himself as well. So there's quite a few interesting bits of motivations as well. Interesting, because we've had a parallel universe story before in Inferno, and there's a parallel there, because in that one, there was no monarchy. And I'm assuming having a president here meant there's no monarchy there either. What if that was done deliberately? You know, you never hear about the queen or the king or whoever would be on the throne. So one assumes that that had gone. Don Warrington, very good as well. I mean, it's a, again, I don't think anyone, did anyone talk at the time about the fact that the president was a black? You know, we haven't had a black prime minister. I know we've got a lot of black MPs, and quite rightly so. We haven't had a black prime minister yet. No doubt one day we will. And hopefully when it happens, it'll just be a case of, oh, we've got a prime minister who's black, not a black prime minister, if you should understand what I mean there as well. But again, it's things that are always slightly different, aren't they? As for the Doctor, in a way, he went to the background quite a bit, didn't he? Because it was, you know, Rose really was leading this for a lot of this, and Mickey as well. I mean, this is, you know, I think it's Mickey's biggest and best story where he did it. The Doctor at the end, when he's the phone that quite conveniently fits into a slot. Hang on, that's a phone from a parallel universe, isn't it? So was it the fact that everyone had the same one? Everyone had the same iPhones? Who knows? But there you go. Anyway. Anyway, I've seen some people on Facebook saying they didn't like it. I did enjoy it. I think it sets up Mickey well, and also, you know, we do know he and Pete and Jackie do come back in a little while. In fact, Mickey, if we're allowed to talk about that person these days, really did then come into his own and then disappeared, and obviously he's not been heard of since. Of course, hasn't done anything, has he? Other than that, and also, Adam, lighten your wheels. Seeing you.
What do you mean, lighten my wheels? What's he on about? Anybody know?
No idea.
No.
Oh, right. So that rather reminds me of... so the reason why we weren't on last week is... there's a bit of a sad story, I'm afraid to say. My Auntie Hilary passed away. She hadn't been very well for a while. And it was to be expected to a certain extent. She's 83 years old, and she had cancer of various parts of the body, and she was fading quite fast and stuff like that. But I had a phone call... a text actually was something until at work, so it kept on vibrating. I thought, what's going on here? I'm at work, I can't answer these. And it's my cousin Jane saying, please call me. And I thought, oh, I know what's happening there. So I did call her, and she said, well, my mum's passed away, but I didn't want Auntie Jill, which is my mum, to be on her own. She lives on her own, and just get that particular bit of news via a telephone. So I was tasked with going up and breaking the news to her. So I had to spend the rest of that day with her make sure she was okay and everything. So that's why I couldn't do the show last week. And thank you for the kind messages that I've had since the passing of Hillary, who was a really, really lovely one, certainly one of my favourite aunties. And she was like the matriarch of that side of the family. She had four kids of her own, and each of those kids seemed to have four kids of their own, and each of their kids have got kids as well. So she was the spawning of a huge branch of the family. But yeah, she was a really, really lovely lady, and is really sorely missed by a lot of us. So I'm really appreciative of the kind words I've had since that. And Mum's okay, if anybody wants to know. She's okay. She's in a way, yeah. She's quite looking forward to the opportunity of going up to the funeral, which is going to be in Maidstone in Kent. In a couple of weeks' time. She's going to get the chance of travelling in my brand new car.
Why Maidstone?
Because she lived in Strood, which is, I suppose, it's halfway between Maidstone and Rochester.
My entire family, mum and dad, both come from, well, Maidstone area.
Yeah.
So that's why I was interested.
Yeah. I was born in Hoosen Werburg, which is just north of Rochester, Chatham, that sort of area. So, yeah.
No
so,
way.
Indeed.
Where are you?
What, born in Hoosen Werburg?
No, my, not Sutton, my, who, my dad Hoosen, was born in Chatham.
No, Hoosen Werburg. That's where I was born, in a little lane called Jacob's Lane, near an orchard.
That's incredible. Anyway. I never knew you were born in the same area as my daddy.
Oh, well, I didn't spend a lot of time there, to be fair. I think mum wanted to go home to her parents to give birth. And then once I was out, they went back to the Isle of Wight again. Right then, so back to the, hopefully that won't get any, that particular segment won't get too many yawns coming through on the live feed.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think it should.
That was very touching.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. That was lovely. Well said. Good words.
Robert Venge Jr. said they dropped the... Oh, sudden that, done that. Wow, Brandon Moore said that I thought there were only five people in steps.
Master?
You've got to do some feedback, Kirby.
Well, before that...
Before that,
may I respond to Robert Wentz Jr.?
You can indeed respond to Robert Wentz Jr.
Okay, the next time the Cybermen appear is obviously in The End of Time. Is it The End of Time? No.
He's been researching.
Yes. No, not The End of Time.
Oh, dear.
Army of Ghosts and Doomsday, right.
Yes.
Army of Ghosts and Doomsday, and they obviously do delete and exterminate. Yes. And I find that very funny. So
do I.
After that, they appear in the next Doctor, and they go delete. And then they next appear in the Pandorica Opens, where one Cyberman says, deleted. After that,
right.
Nightmare in Silver, no delete.
I haven't got a sound effect for Can of Worms.
And I didn't go past that. I mean, I was doing all that research during Andy.
Okay. You've got some feedback to dictate from Terry Miles.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Terry Linda Miles.
Yes. And, well, that's good. It means that the professional broadcaster gets to read the other.
Yes, that's the highlight, as usual, of the feedback.
Someone else turning up.
Anyway, Linda and Terry Miles say, strange one, this. The TARDIS drops out of time corridor and appears to die. The Doctor can't get the TARDIS to restart as he thinks she's dead, stuck in the middle of nowhere. Mickey the Tin Dog opens the door and points out that they are in London. Well, a parallel Earth London. Pete Tyler is alive in this universe. Last time we met Pete, Rose caused deadly trouble, so of course she has to go see him. And you know that's not going to get him well. Mickey wants to see his dead man and gets kidnapped by the local freedom fighters. Freedom for tooting! As Wolfie used to say. Who's Wolfie?
Wolfie Smith from Citizen Smith, a classic BBC Smith. Comedy series.
Okay, Mickey meets himself, Ricky, this London's most wanted, for parking violations. Roger Lloyd Pack is brilliant. See, brilliant is the creator of the Cyberman in this universe. The wheels make him the Cyber Davros, like Davros, also slightly yes, mad.
That's true.
Jackie with loads of money. Well, you can take a girl out of the East End of London, but you can't take the East End of London out of the girl.
Indeed.
Don Warrington as the president was very good. Amazing how a medical student can get to be president of Great Britain. Rigsby and Miss Jones would be so proud of him. Okay, that makes no sense at all.
Again, other words. Other
so somebody who's supposed to be a Anglophile doesn't know any of the most classic British comedies.
Rose upset Pete's jacks before she was cybertized. I'm amazed she didn't keep moaning at Pete when she was a Cyberman. Why is it that when Jackie's upgraded, she looks like all the other Cybermen, but in the TV Torchwood series, they have a girl who is cybertized and she becomes a Cyber Lady?
Indeed.
Yeah.
I like that episode.
Well, no. The explanation there is that it was interrupted halfway.
Yes.
I think that Jackie would have looked better dressed the same way. CCTV comes in handy sometimes when you want to pass info without the baddies knowing what's going on. I think you can say the doctor blew their minds. That deserves a ding. Okay. We enjoyed these two. The cyber dancing was funny. Next up, Magpie. No, hang on. Idiot's Lantern, or as I call it, the TV.
No.
Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Miles.
Thank you, Linda and Terry Miles. We have one more thing to play before the highlight of the feedback, yes, i.e. Councillor T. Butcher. We have this.
Hello, gentlemen of the podcast. It's Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Rise of the Cybermen and the Edge of Steel by Tom McRae. Russell T. Davies decided this story would be set in a parallel universe. This allows rebooting the Cybermen and ignoring their backstory without too much fanfury that a normal reboot would entail.
Yep.
It also allows Pete to return and shows what could have happened if one of his get-rich schemes had succeeded.
Mm.
In this universe, Pete and Jackie are childless, which is eventually a plot point in the resolution of Rose's story.
Yeah.
Jackie and Mickey get more important roles. Jackie ends up as a Cyberman, and Mickey leaves the TARDIS crew to fight the Cybermen and become all heroic. You might think they would insist on the term cyberperson, mm-hmm. but they don't have emotions.
Mm.
When Rose gets back to her own Earth and finds Jackie is her old soul, she cries. A mirror of the Ninth Doctor story, where Jackie cries when Rose walked in after being missing for a year. Monday is a holiday, both in the UK and USA.
Yeah, it's unusual, isn't it?
We are heading for 21 Celsius, 70 Fahrenheit, which here is a heat wave. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Now, as I was mentioned earlier on by somebody about that they don't particularly like parallel universe stories. Now, I must admit, I really did enjoy Sliders, although I didn't watch all of them. And that was a whole series based on sliding from one universe to the next.
I prefer flip-flops. You,
Master, you know, that's what we in the States call a very small hamburger.
What, Sliders?
A slider.
Oh, okay. And, of course, Doctor Who did it via the two episodes referred to. I'm pretty sure there was another... of course, Star Trek, which I think initiated the alternative universe scenario.
Red Dwarf?
Well, yeah, but they were initially off Star
Trek. And there's the universal symbol for being evil to have a goatee.
That's very true,
That's
yeah.
true, yes. And again, Spock had his goatee, didn't he? In
Ming the Merciless.
Whatever that episode, that story was called. Anyway... Ben, you have some blurb to dictate from Councillor Butcher.
The alternate anarcho syndicalist. Is that syndicalist? How do you say that?
Syndicalists.
Syndicalists.
That does sound a bit rude when you say it slowly.
We were talking about Jackie Tyler earlier in her boobs. Now.
What? What's that got to do with Dallin T. Butcher's blooming feedback?
You said
Can we talk about sheds?
Oh, dear.
The alternate anarcho-syndicalists or Trigger's new cyberbroom. Dear 20 megabyters, Rise of the Cybermen, The Age of Steel, is, of course, a closely studied tract against anarcho-syndicalism with a twist. The depiction of a society that is submitted to a collective will is perhaps even more stark than previous cyber stories. However, there is an aspect this time of corporatist manipulation of syndicalism which bears an analysis. Oh, I so nearly got that. You don't know how many times I've practiced that sentence in my head.
You didn't even get that sentence out, Ben, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
And I mucked it up, I'll say. However, you can edit it again, as you normally do when I muck things up.
No.
However, there is an aspect this time. Oh, I nearly got it then. However, there is an aspect this time of corporatist manipulation of syndicalism which bears analysis in its relation to fascism. Oh, bugger, that'll do. See, absolute professional, consummate professional, bugger, that'll do. It should be noted, this is free. It should be noted, Bill, whilst some might say that this story is based on Big Finish's much lauded spare parts. In fact, there's.
Oh, sorry, that was a wrong tune. I do apologize.
You might as well say Revolution of the Daleks is based on Genesis of the Daleks. We also learn that one of those chaps who used to work for Davros on Necros was so keen to get the next monster in the set that he crossed to a different universe to work for those Cybermen. We should look out for the other one. My guess is he escaped into history seeking an ecclesiastical role. All in all, Rise of the Cybermen / The Age of Steel is a quite good reemergence for the Cybermen and a decent, though thought-provoking and sometimes emotive storyline, albeit with a slight underwhelming resolution. It is also slightly disappointing that these Cybermen are not directly connected to the previous Cybermen seen in the show. This serves to help set up the season-long plot, which will pay off on the finale, but for now, it does miss the chance to show an early Mondas-based story, which everyone must want, surely.
Indeed.
It does, however, lead to the opening up of the concept of the Cybermen being a tendency that is not tied to a single origin, but one rather which could be fallen foul of by any intelligent species in bad circumstances. Impressive performances from everyone yet again, and David Tennant is very obviously living a dream appearing with Cybermen. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as who would not want to see Mickey and the Preachers clearing up after the cyber mess?
In Paris, no less.
Next up, Doctor Who and the Faceless Ones 2, or Gogglebox Coronation Special. Sorry, yes, Coronation Special 53. Those are my thoughts.
Councillor.
One and only very high reverend Alan T. Councillor, MP, and soon to be Prime Minister.
It's quite interesting to note for myself personally that before the local council elections, I had no friends that were councillors, and now I've got Alan out on the mainland somewhere in Bognor Regis-y sort of area. I've got Richard Quigley, who is a very good friend of mine, and also Alicia's ex-boss, who is a Labour councillor for our actual ward, and my dear friend Laura PC Wilcox, who's now head of the Council of the Isle of Wight. She was also mayor of Cowes when we did FantasyCon, and she actually came up to open FantasyCon, and now she's the head of the council. So it was very good to see.
Well, why don't you become a councillor?
Because I don't want to. I'm not really a big fan of politics. Otherwise, you know, these people we mentioned, Alan is a Labour councillor, Richard is a Labour councillor.
No, he is the Labour councillor.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm not really attached. I judge people on whether they're good friends or not. Pay no attention to politics.
The man behind the curtain, yes.
Right, so what we got coming through on the live feed?
I was supposed to ask if there's any stray feedback.
No mentions of sheds, and I didn't hear what Kirby said.
I'm supposed to ask if there's any stray feedback.
Is there any stray feedback?
No, I don't see any.
Where might there be some stray feedback?
Well, let me look. Let me refresh the page. Okay. Well, you might have gotten doing that. I don't know. No, there's nothing.
Brandon Moore said, I thought there were only five people in steps, and that's the last thing I actually heard from anyone. I've already mentioned that one, so that's good. We're nearly up to date.
Now, Lee Anthony Davis keeps posting random pictures from Doctor Who on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
Yeah, I don't think that's illegal, so that's fine. Don't think it was really feedback either, but never mind. Right, Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to remind you to do the news.
Okay, if just for old time's sake. Where's the old sound effect gone?
That old sound effect. I love that sound effect.
Yeah, I don't know if I've still got it. Oh, here it is.
Of course you do. You have everything.
Oh, no, I don't. I've got to download it from the cloud first.
No!
What?
I said no!
Right.
I think I must have trodden on a pin or something.
Oh, bugger.
Yeah.
Now I'll try that again.
Go on. Yeah.
Oh, that's better. The volume thing kept on disappearing. Oh, yes. Doctor Who news. Trailblazers, Delia Derbyshire. As part of this month's learning resources from the BBC, CBBC have broadcast a series of classic music for schools over the past week. 10 pieces are focused on a number of works based around the theme, and Friday's episode, Back in Time, included a section on the groundbreaking work that Delia Derbyshire in creating the Doctor Who theme. I'm not going to read all of that, but and that music's too loud, so shut up. Thank you. Right then.
Do you want to explain what that is? Because there'll be a whole lot of people who've got no idea.
What are you talking about?
What, the news round theme?
That's funny.
What, the news round theme or the Delia Derbyshire thing?
No, the news round theme. Because Americans won't have a clue what you've just been playing, and it is quite amusing.
They would know from years ago that it was our news theme. I'm not sure I nicked from somewhere.
John Craven.
John Craven's news around here. What a great bit of music that is. It's probably the for me personally, the piece of music that associates the most with news. What else we got? That's it for that particular feature. We've got Doctor Who Magazine 656 featuring friend of the show, Sylvester McCoy, and friend of the show, Sophie Aldred, on the cover. Also a drawing of... Pardon?
I said yay.
I thought it said ding. I thought we'd put a ding out.
No,
for that
I
one.
Said yay.
You did you? What else we got here? We've got Cosmic Mask issue 13 with Rose Tyler and Ninth Doctor illustrations on the cover. It says the Doctor Who Appreciation Society has released issue 13 of its free to download magazine Cosmic Mask. Now, if you go to DoctorWhoNews.net, there's a little link you can click on, which rather appropriately says available here, and then you can actually get this free sort of publication.
Good, I'll do that.
Will you?
Yes.
Okay. What else we got here? That's it then, because it goes back to the mentioning of Frank Cox passing away, which we did about 4 weeks ago. So it's really a sort of glut of, I praise that. There's really not a glut of Doctor Who news at the moment, but for Ben's nostalgic reasons, I'm going to play this piece of music.
I'll begin at number 40, me. Down number 39. Number 38, it's up one place for the Doctor, and I am the Doctor.
If you could just hold up while I just blow Bardot's, and I'll carry on with the charts.
You're right. You sounded... I was like doing an impression of Fluff, and then you started doing... I don't know what you were doing.
No, I was doing an impression of you doing Fluff.
Kind of like, just... It detracted from my...
And, by the way, don't be alarmed, American Visitors. When Ben says he's doing Fluff, he's talking about... That's the nickname of an old Radio 1 DJ from
that
the 1960s.
Didn't make it sound any better, in the fact you explained just to who he was, who I was apparently doing. Thanks for that.
Right then.
Heroes.co.uk
have new releases of. I'll start that again because I've got the web address wrong. IWHeroes.co. I got it all wrong. Hang on.
I bet you're going to edit that.
I should do, but out of respect for yourself, I'm going to leave it in. And the fact that I can't be bothered to edit. Yes, IWHeroes.co.uk have released the recent Umbrella Academy Funko Pops for the purchase of the public. So if you go to IWHeroes.co.uk and you live in the UK, you can get those shipped to your home from them. And they also have a load of other really cool stuff. If you want to visit the Isle of Wight, you can actually go into their shop, and it's really, really cool.
Come to the Isle of Wight, I will do that.
You know, I was hoping Mary was going to come last year. Pardon?
COVID.
Yes, I know. So I'm hoping that happens this year. Andy Nunny's threatening to come to the Isle of Wight.
You're hoping COVID happens this year, Adam?
No, Mary coming to the Isle... Well, coming to Britain, and essentially, you mentioned the Isle. But Andy Nunny is coming to the island in a few weeks' time. So that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Well, keep him from falling asleep.
For Andy.
Keep him from falling asleep. Well... I can't promise that I'll be able to do that. I'm not able to keep our listeners awake, so keeping Andy Nunny awake is going to be even more of a challenge. Right then, so whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
They've got Doctor Who Magazine 564.
Who did win?
They got Alex Kingston's book, Ruby's
Curse. Oh, come on, that was brilliant.
I didn't hear it because I was reading out the links on the page here.
All right. Let's do it all again and listen to what everyone says and then all laugh off at my joke. Okay?
Oh, hang on.
So, Adam,
let me prepare myself, God's sake. I can't remember what I said. Can you remind me what I said?
Yes, you said you read out the web address. What's the email address?
Which web address? Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
And I said, I don't know who won.
I like that.
That's the reaction. That's what it was about, you see, Adam. Sometimes you have to make these things happen.
I didn't hear it.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Here all week. Which is true. I am in my shed all week.
You're locked out of the house. Oh, well.
Coming soon on whowon.co.uk. First Doctor Adventures 5 featuring David Bradley, who I'm going to meet. Now, this is a good segue, this. I'm going to meet David Bradley up at Wales Comic Con, who have just announced that Billy Piper is going to be a guest. So isn't that exciting? Ooh. I get to meet some people. Pardon?
That is. That's cool.
Yeah. And
Billy
also,
Piper and her new teeth. Right.
And also, it's already been mentioned that several actors that have previously played the Doctor, for instance, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann. I mentioned Colin Baker. Anyway, these four actors are all...
Colin Baker's been in my car.
If you would allow me to finish the sentence...
That?
No,
because I will edit it in anyway. Yes, they're doing a photo shoot where you can actually have your picture taken with four doctors. So I do hope they actually add a couple more extra doctors.
The episode was the five doctors. I don't remember the four doctors.
I'm going to have a very similar thing very soon, actually, because I'm going to have an x-ray and a scan on my dodgy hip, and there's going to be three different doctors in there. Is that the same thing? Is my post up on the website?
Yes, anyway, so Gooseberry, which is looks like it's a book about a character from Torchwood, played by Bern Gorman, who originally was supposed to be at Wales Comic Con last year, but couldn't make it because of something called COVID.
Something happened.
Lone Centurion, featuring somebody I had my picture taken with at the previous Wales Comic Con, called Arthur Darling.
Colin Baker.
And Ninth Doctor Adventures Ravagers. I'm really actually enthralled to get the opportunity to listen to Eccleston playing starting to play the Doctor again, so I might try and purchase that particular title when it eventually becomes available. These can be ordered, pre-ordered indeed, from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Now, the Vazi.co.uk sell
Makers things of the like best scarves in the universe.
Well, I mean, this is a, we're heading for the summer now, so the Fourth Doctor scarves may not be the thing that you may be looking to buy, but you know, winter is coming, and it might be a good idea to purchase them for your loved ones at Christmas.
Along with you say winter's coming, mate. We've only had 2 days of sun so far this year, and they've both been the last
inevitable.
2 days.
By the time we actually realise it's summer, the winter turns up, and that's the time to get your Fourth Doctor scars from Lavazzi. And if you
that's
really
all
love,
you can do that.
Fan fiction and stuff like that, join their blog and submit your fan fiction so everybody else can read it for free, because that's how we do this podcast, to be fair. We sit around for 2 hours trying to dodge subjects for free for our listeners.
My
to
goodness, we have been going for 2 hours.
Wonder as much what hell's going on as I do while doing the show.
No, we haven't. We've only been doing an hour. I can't see the time. I've taken my glasses off. Hold on.
Now, Lillian Robbins says, I'm awake. That rather implies she's done an Andy Nunny during the show this week. So.
No, but I think hasn't. You said something about making people fall asleep.
Oh, I said, sorry, Lillian. Sorry, I do forget what I'm saying half the time. Right, so that thankfully, we've actually just about managed to reach. I did say to Deb it might be a couple of hours. Actually, an hour and 45 minutes, but it took us 15 minutes to get started, which is rather typical.
That's my
now,
fault.
I will say there won't be a show next week, simply because Isabella is on a sleepover and I have to be on call to go and pick her up from the ferry because we don't know exactly what time she's coming back. So I can't say I'm going to do a show in case, in case I'm called upon.
Okay, so I will make sure to announce next week there is no show.
There's no show next week, but there hopefully will be on the 13th of June.
On the 13th and then the 20th. I know there's another one. Time coming up where we're not having a show.
There is?
Yeah, you said there was a time. I'm looking for
it. 4th of July. Not because of any particular anniversary of anything, but I've got a...
4th of July is a Tuesday.
No, it's not. 4th of July, that's...
Oh, you're going to celebrate the...
The filming of the Theatre Train show, yes. That's exactly what I'm doing on the 4th of July, yes.
The 4th of July is the day I get my second jab, so it's known as COVID Independence Day.
Yeah, is that? Well, I had my COVID
last week. Taking a long time for you?
I had my second jab
because
last
week. Because I'm so young.
No one's interested.
Because
I'm so young. Alicia had her first jab last week.
13th of July, which is the Sunday. England are playing Croatia. Oh, but it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And then it's Netherlands, Ukraine. I won't get to see it.
Because we all jump in our Doctor Who time capsules in a couple of days' time and go back to Euro 2020. What?
Okay.
Oh, guess what I'm doing on my Google Calendar.
I dread to think.
I went to next week, to the 6th, and I right-clicked on the recording... the reminder of the recording, and I clicked delete.
I was really worth waiting.
Yes, it was.
For that particular remark. So, right, so it would be interesting to see if any ladies turn up to join us on the show in a couple of weeks' time. And be even more interesting to see if anybody bothers to show up for the show after that. Because as I suspect, what will actually happen, it will just be called episode 500 and nobody will be the slightest bit interested in any number.
I'm interested.
What number are we on today?
498. I did say that at the top of the show, to be fair. But, anyway, so...
That was like
2 hours ago.
Yeah.
That is. How long would it take if you would listen... to all of them back to back, Kirby.
Oh God, here we go. Don't ask him questions like that because he'll get a calculator out.
Well, I think what you need to do, as you've probably got every single one logged of time and everything like that, is for the 500th episode, work out how long every podcast length. There's your challenge.
On average,
500.
No.
What do you mean no?
No, I don't want it on average.
I'm going to work it out on average. Time.
I'm not going to do it.
You know,
oh Kirby, that. You let down. Seriously.
He can't do it because he knows he can't get an exact figure.
Well, I'm sure Kirby could because he's brilliant at stuff like that.
I could if there were fewer than 500. I'm not going to take the time to do it.
Yes, you are, because now you want to know as well. No. It's gonna burn you now, Kirby. You're gonna really want to know how long all podcasts back to back would take to listen.
I'm sure it's something you're gonna go to sleep tonight. Master could go into Podbean and
right. Get. I can tell you, Ben, obviously bearing in mind most of the episodes are between an hour and 2 hours long, so I've done on an average an hour and a half per episode. It would take, if you wanted to listen to them back to back without going to bed or anything, 45 days of continuous listening. So I've spent 45 days of my life sat here, apart from when I had to do it in the car, obviously. That car's for sale, by the way, if anybody wants to buy the car.
Oh, those were great days in the car park.
Oh, they were.
Anyway, so 45 days of my life doing this show.
So now, what's going to be the big reveal on 500?
I mean, when is Alicia's wedding?
25th of July. Well, are you coming out to come into it or what?
No, I thought maybe we were skipping that.
Well, yeah.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I definitely have that marked as no 20 megabytes.
Well done, Kirby. That was very clever of you to work that one out. Yeah.
You have right, that anyway, on your calendar.
Yes.
I was talking to Adam.
Right then. So next time we'll be looking at the Idiot's Lantern. I was trying to think of a joke to do with that title, but the title itself is quite funny. And until then, thank you for listening and watching and taking part in the show. Stay safe, take your jabs, get rid of COVID, and get back to normal. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Chicken crisps.
Is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.